On today's Compassion Radio.
Members in American churches gave 10% of their income instead of the average of 2.5%. It would have made an additional $164 billion available for Christian ministry.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. Hello, friends, and welcome to the daily radio broadcast journal of God's amazing work and how we get to join in. You've heard the saying, think globally, act locally. Well, Norm's guest returns for a second day to help us connect the two worlds in a powerful way and with eternal results. Here's Norm.
All right, we're really pleased to have back for a second day Dr. Scott Rodin. Dr. Rodin is the author of a wonderful book, a number of them actually, but one in particular, Stewards in the Kingdom, Theology of Life in All Its Fullness, and also has a new book coming out in the not-too-distant future called The Steward Leader. So, Dr. Rodin, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Thank you, Norm. It's a pleasure to be here.
We were talking yesterday, and I have so many questions coming out of our discussion on yesterday's program that I wanted to continue with you. But this book, Stewards in the Kingdom, A Theology of Life in All of Its Fullness, was more or less our emphasis yesterday. But you also have this new book coming out. Tell us the title and the content of that book.
The title is The Steward Leader. And the content, back in 2000 when I wrote Stewards in a Kingdom, it really was the development of this fourfold theology of what it means to be a holistic, godly steward. And I really found it to be so life-changing, an entirely different perspective and way of looking at our entire life, that as I was doing work in leadership studies through some of the work that I do, I began to think, what impact would it make on the role and the function and the effectiveness of a leader, a Christian leader, if they took on their leadership responsibilities through the lenses of first being called to be a godly steward. And of course, the theology says that if you are a truly godly steward, it's life-changing, it's transformational, and it has an impact then on any role that you take in life, whether it's a husband and wife or a pastor, in any role that you take, it's going to have an impact. So the steward leader is a way of going back in and asking, starting with that same theological framework and asking, what would a leader look like if they were first personally a godly steward and then sought to live out that call to be a godly steward in the way in which they led?
Just to refresh our memories, and for those who perhaps didn't hear yesterday's program, when you use the word steward, what are you talking about? What is a steward?
We talked yesterday, and I briefly unpacked the basic theology that says that we were created, because we were created in the image of a triune God, we were created to be in relationship. And if you look at Genesis, that relationship is really defined by four different levels: our relationship with God, our relationship with ourself, our relationship with our neighbor, and our relationship with the created world. God created us in whole, nurturing, positive relationships on all four levels. And of course, in the fall, when sin entered into the world, all four of those were severely distorted and lost. And in the work of Christ, he came and restored to us in his life, death, and resurrection. All four of those levels of relationship were restored in Christ and now have been given back to us as a gift to be stewarded. We don't own any of them. We lost them. And in Christ, they've been given to us. And God says, now take care of these. Take care of gifts. Take care of your relationship with me. This is a precious gift. Take care of how you view yourself as my child. Take care of how you care for your neighbor, love your neighbor as you love yourself, and take care of my world and the resources that I've given you and the environment in which you live. And as we understand that, we realize that every single aspect of our life is a gift, and our role, our vocation, our calling is to be a godly steward in how we manage and steward those gifts.
Yeah, that's really helpful to have that as a background of our conversation today. I want to go back just briefly to what we were talking about yesterday and ask you a question with regard to this whole matter of financial resources in funding the work of the kingdom of Christ, in seeking to join with Christ in doing his work in the world and employing the gifts that he's given us, the financial resources and so forth, to further that work. Arab World Ministries, which, you know, has worked in the Arab world for many, many years, had a study that turned out this statistic, and I've quoted this on the program before, but I can't get over it. Out of every dollar that evangelical Christians receive and donate then to the work of the kingdom, 95 cents of that dollar is kept here in the United States. We keep it for ourselves. We invest it in our buildings and our programs and our outreaches and all of that. Everything involved in ministry in the USA. That leaves a nickel for the rest of the world. And of that nickel, they said that 3% has been contributed for ministry to the Arab world. That blew me away. I mean, what is 3% of a nickel, for heaven's sake? And my response to that is, as we look at all of the difficulty that's going on in the world, you know, one of the great diplomatic writers, political theorists just talked about a clash of civilizations, the Christian civilization and the Islamic civilization clashing and all of that. But my sort of cynical response to all of this is, you know, we get what we pay for. People who know Jesus Christ as Savior don't fly airliners into skyscrapers and kill thousands of people. You said something yesterday that I want to pick up on. You said that we have the money, we have the resources to change the world, to fund the work of Christ's kingdom around the world. It's not a lack of funds. It's a lack of something else. And I am absolutely convinced of this, that we don't need governments to get all involved in the kind of work that we sometimes think of in terms of humanitarian work and reaching out to the poor and the needy and all of that. We in the Church of Jesus Christ around the world have what is needed. We have all of it that's needed. And I wonder if you agree with that. And secondly, I wonder then what's wrong if we have those resources to make a difference for Christ in the world and to fund the kinds of ministries that are needed out there in the world. Why don't we do it?
Yes. Well, I just am pulling up a statistic here as you're talking as well. In 2004, they did a study and said that members in American churches gave at a 10% of their income, it would have, instead of the average of 2.5%, it would have made an additional $164 billion available for Christian ministry.
My goodness.
That's a move from 2.5% to 10%, so you can imagine the numbers. So, yes, it's not a lack of resources. It's not a lack of funds. It's a lack of funders. And we talked yesterday about the fact that we are a society in bondage to material possessions. We're in bondage to ownership. And any time that you believe you really do own the money that you have or own the time or own any part of your life, you're put into bondage and you cannot respond to God's call to be a joyful, generous, abundant, steward of what he's given you. So, I used the word yesterday that we end up tipping God. We give him that little bit that assuages our guilt a little bit and makes us feel like we're doing something. But that is so far from being this this joyful, generous, abundant sower, of resources into the kingdom of God. And it's a trust factor, as we said yesterday, too. It's a lack of trust that if I really do respond as generously as I think God might be calling me to, that he will still continue to meet all of my needs. So there's two or three things, I think, going on there.
Scott, we've worked a lot, Compassion Radio has, in China. We know a lot of the Christians in China. And, of course, as you know, the greatest growth in the history of Christianity has happened in the nation of China as the church has just grown by leaps and bounds. They're also involved now in a missionary movement to move westward across the Silk Road, the old trading routes. It's what is known as the Back to Jerusalem movement. And their commitment is to take back for the kingdom of Christ all of that territory, so much of which has been lost over the intervening centuries. to the gospel and so forth. And when we talk to them, when we talk to these bold, courageous Chinese Christians who are committed to doing this and sending out 100,000 missionaries and all of that, they say, you know, Norm, you guys can't do this. We can do it, but you can't. And I say, well, why can't we? And they say, because you're addicted to things. You need more comforts than we do. We can sleep on the floor. We can get by with, you know, morsels of food instead of huge meals. And they sort of catalog the evidences of a kind of softness that has developed in the Christian community in the United States. Now, we're not tar and feathering the whole American church community, you know, with a broad brush here. But I do think that they have something when they utter those convicting words to us. Scott, how do we re-energize ourselves as Christians in America to give, to move out, to be on the front lines of faith again?
That is a huge question. Obviously, that's a huge question.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I can only speak from personal experience. I think we need to set people free. I think we need to set the people in the pews and the churches in the United States need to be set free. I see bondage as the single greatest factor that keeps us from fulfilling the Great Commission and the Great Commandment and changing the world for Christ. And as long as we're in bondage, believing that we're owners of our lives, of our time, of our talents, of our resources, then we just spend an inordinate amount of our time making sure that we're comfortable, that we're secure, that we're happy, that we're avoiding risk, and all those things that the Chinese leaders are looking at, saying, as long as you're in bondage to all of that, you really can't go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Little steps can lead to big changes, not just in our hearts, but around the world. We'll be back with more from Scott Rodin after this.
You know, friends like you make this ministry possible, and your sacrificial gifts mean the world to us. This month, with your gift of $20 or more, we'd be thrilled to send you a very special lapel pin or car magnet reminding you and others to pray for our troops. This is one of the best ways we can help repay their sacrifice. It's all part of our January Soldiers Bible Project, our New Year's effort to get Bibles into the hands of our servicemen and women who are hungry for God's Word. We can't think of a better way to start off this brand new year of 2017. Each Bible can be placed into the hands of a seeker for $20. Add an additional gift of $20 or more for the lapel pin or car magnet reminder to pray for our troops. Some in active combat zones, others find themselves in areas that could erupt at any moment. Reach us toll-free at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And online, you can find us at CompassionRadio.com. Now, back to the program.
As long as you're in bondage to all of that, you really can't go into all the world and preach the gospel, because you're fixated on this owner mentality. I'm privileged to sit on the board of a ministry that works in China, and I've gotten to know a number of Chinese leaders, a number of house church leaders over there, and the level to which they wake up every morning, and their whole life is in God's hands. I mean, from whether they'll live that day to every aspect of what happens in their life, they trust God on a day-to-day, moment-by-moment basis. And they're not, it's not a negative thing. They're living a life of, they're working hard, but there's a lot of joy and a deep sense of peace that God is taking care of them on a day-to-day basis. But you can't be in bondage to the things of this world and live that kind of a life fully given out to the work of Christ. So My answer in brief, we've got to set people free.
Wow. Is this in part of the task of the steward leader? That's the new book, the title of the new book that you've written, published by InterVarsity Press, that's coming out in just a few months, I believe. Is this the task of the Christian leader, the steward leader, is to help that happen? And,
yes,
and if
absolutely.
So, how? How
yes,
do we lead?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yes, the whole concept is that if I have And when I say if I have been set free, that sounds like an end result, and actually it's a journey. We're all on a journey. We all go back and forth. We all struggle with this. We're never going to be fully set free or fully made perfect until Christ comes again. But we are called to journey. We are called to continue in our faithfulness and in our relationship with Christ and strengthening our faith. So it is a journey toward freedom. But as we're doing that, as God is transforming my life on all four levels, that I really can be a godly steward and be set free, if all of a sudden I find myself called into an organization to serve, whether it's a pastor of a church or a head of a nonprofit or even my family, your kids or whatever, in any role that God's called me to lead, I want for my people that same sense of freedom. And so I'm going to begin to look at their relationship with God, themselves, the people around them in which they work, and the world around them. And my job as a steward leader is to be used by God to help set my people free. And I think that's probably in a nutshell, what that whole book is about. Steward leaders are freed to lead. And when they lead others into that same kind of freedom, because the most productive worker for the kingdom of God is one who is on the journey of being set free. And that's my calling, to help people make that happen. That's really the core of the book.
There are so many great books out there on leadership in the secular world and so forth, and we're paying more attention to the issue of leadership in the church and have been for some time. But with all these books, we really do see almost across the board in our culture today the failure of leadership. In the political realm, Americans are really fed up with the lack of quality leadership, and in the business world and all those areas. Leadership is failing us, I believe, and I think you're onto something here in terms of an answer to this problem.
Well, I hope it makes a contribution to the kingdom. When you look at so much leadership work that's done out there, it tends to be fairly strongly focused on what I would call a trait-based approach to leadership. And it goes like this. You go out and find somebody who's been effective as a leader, and you say, what are the traits? What are the things that this person is doing? What is she, what kind of personality does she have, or what kind of leadership style does she have? And then you come up with a list of traits and take it to other people and say, okay, do these things. This is what it means to be an effective leader.
Yeah.
And it's all about our doing. We are such a doing society. We focus on the do's, the 12 steps, the 15 things to essential leadership, 21 aspects of being a successful leader. And it's all about traits and doing. And what I'm just trying to do is step back and say, I don't think that's where it is. I think we're doing ourselves to death. I think it's about being. And to me, being means being called to be a completely sold-out godly steward, a one-kingdom godly steward, who's called to lead and leads other people in that same way. So I'm more concerned about who a leader is and where God is leading them in terms of their own personal transformation and how that now then works its way out into the way in which they lead others. You can't lead others toward transformation and freedom if you're a person who is living a life, completely stuck in bondage and not moving ahead. So hopefully that's part of the contribution of the book.
Scott, it sounds a little bit like you think that perhaps we put too much emphasis on technique and maybe should be focusing more on the issue of character, on godly character, than on just, as you said, kind of regurgitating the techniques and the traits that certain leaders have, maybe that we admire. Is that a fair assessment?
That is a fair assessment. And you know what? It works exactly the same way in fundraising. All the work we talk about, work on fundraising, that if you enter into a relationship with a potential supporter of your organization and your whole focus is on technique, how do I say the right thing, put the right piece of information into them, or figure out a way to motivate them to somehow make a decision to make a gift, that's what we would call a very transactional way of going about it, focusing just on the transaction of the gift. And I think that godly Christian fundraising calls us to transformation, which means I go in and I ask, God, how can you use me to be a part of the journey that this donor is on toward becoming a godly steward? If you ask that question, then you enter into relationships with potential donors in a completely different mindset, and you end up ministering to them and building relationships with them, and your end goal is not a check. It's that somehow God's using you to help them be a more godly steward. Because I'll tell you, as people become more and more sold out godly stewards, their generosity just skyrockets. So it always comes back in terms of, God providing resources for your ministry. And it's the same thing with leadership. If I go into a leadership position believing I've got to take a power position and put myself over against my people and coerce or whatever them into getting things done so that I look better, our ministry looks better. It's a different approach than saying, you know, I've been set free and my goal is to set my people free. And when they're free, they're going to take this organization to places it's never been before.
Dr. Scott Rodin, these have been very enlightening conversations we've had the last 2 days. I'd like to ask you, I'm springing this on you without warning, but would you speak to our listeners and tell them as they sit down and consider their stewardship, the stewardship of their financial resources, what should they keep in mind? What should they consider? What should be foremost in their minds as they make, you know, these important decisions about where to put the resources that God has entrusted to them?
Yes, I'd say a couple of things. One is that when we make a decision to invest God's resources into God's kingdom, those things he's entrusted to us, there should be two aspects to it. One is it should be an act of worship. We worship God. We show our adoration and love of God and his lordship in our life by the way in which we joyfully, happily, and freely invest in that kingdom. So make it a worshipful event. Pray over it and realize that this is part of what it means to worship God, is to be a faithful steward. And the second one, and then really the bottom line for me, is I go back to the question I asked before, what would bring you joy? If you're not having a great amount of joy in your giving, then there's a deeper challenge that you need to go back and ask yourself, you know, why am I holding on to things so tight as an owner that I can't just do this with great joy? And if you are doing it with joy, then trust that if God puts something on your heart to give at a level that would bring you great joy, that he will be faithful and meet all of your needs in response to that. So it's not so much we obviously have to do the important things of making sure the organizations we give to are doing a good job with the funds that they receive and all the rest of that. But when it comes right down to it, I just wish people at the end of the year could write checks maybe bigger than they've ever written before and say, wow, this is so much joy. To worship God with my giving in this way is just transforming my life and loving every minute of it.
Boy, that just transforms our whole approach. And I thank you so much, Dr. Scott Rodin, for these past 2 days. Let me mention again the books that you have written. One, Stewards in the Kingdom. And the second one, about to be released, The Steward Leader. Obviously, these are books that every Christian should read. I highly recommend them. Published by InterVarsity Press, and I got to tell you, it doesn't get any better than that. So, Scott, is there a website to which our listeners could go to learn more from you on these important matters?
There are a number of good resources out there. If they Google biblical stewardship, you're going to find a number of people out there that are doing a lot of good writing, generous giving. There's a lot of good resources out there. More and more than ever before, there's a growing number of resources in biblical, really good biblical holistic stewardship that people can find if they do a little looking around.
Well, thanks so much for being with us on Compassion Radio. It's been a joy to have you, and God bless you. I hope you'll be a return guest with us here at Compassion Radio, Dr. Scott Rodin.
Thank you, Norm. Blessings to you and all of your listeners.
January is always a time for new beginnings, and for Compassion Radio, this is especially true this year. The first new thing is the Compassion Project we bring to your attention this month. For the first time in our many years of Bible projects, we are reaching out to our military who are serving around the world, some in active combat zones, many others in places which could erupt at any time. Why this project now? We became aware that although the military says it provides access to Bibles, the supply system is slow and cumbersome. As we kick off 2017, will you help us send Bibles to servicemen and women who are hungry for God's Word? Each Bible can be delivered into the hands of a seeker for $20. Now, our second new beginning is decidedly bittersweet. You may remember that last month we asked you to pray earnestly for Norm. It seems that God has a different answer for us than we'd hoped for. We don't know specifically what the days ahead have in store for Norm, but we do know that God holds him close. His vision and passion remain central to who we are as a ministry and a broadcast.
We are trusting that you will continue to hold us all up in this season of change as his health forces him to discontinue his daily involvement and on-air presence. The Ministry of Compassion Radio is Norm's living legacy, and it's very much alive. We continue to pray and plan for many more years of passionate projects and powerful programs. To that end, Norm will move into a new role as President Emeritus. We can't say this enough. Thank you for standing with us. Please give today. Our soldiers need the strength and hope contained in God's Word. The Bibles they receive will change lives. With your gift of $20 or more to the Ministry of Compassion Radio this month, we will send you, at your request, either a lapel pin or car magnet, reminding you and others to pray for our troops. This is one of the best ways we can help repay their sacrifice. Call us with your gift today to 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Or you can give securely online at CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And that toll-free phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. I'm Jim Governale. On behalf of Norm and Cher Nelson, Bram Floria, and the entire Compassion Radio team, Happy New Year, and we'll see you again tomorrow for the next edition of Compassion Radio.